I cannot believe you're doing this to me.
Listen, we ended the last show with me resigning. I can't go back.
Yeah, I know. Why would you do that to me? You know I can't do any of this crap.
You know, maybe it's time. Maybe I need to push you out of the nest so you can fly.
Yeah, well, that doesn't work if I don't know how to do any of this stuff. What does this do? I don't know.
Don't touch that again. Listen, it's easy. The big red button is record. You talk into the microphone. We got a lot of email. We were out there asking for email. It's a Q&A show. You can answer mail.
What about the cranks? What about the pulleys? Huh? What do I do then? But, what about this hamster in the cage that's supposed to be running around? Do I have to keep him busy? Do I have to keep feeding him?
Well, you should feed him. It's a hamster. Of course you feed him.
Well, like, I don't know what I'm supposed
Matt,
to do.
Matt, you know what? You'll be fine.
I will not be fine.
I'll talk to you later. I'm leaving now.
God damn it.
You need to start the show.
Oh, God, hang on. Okay.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 120 featuring and Matt Robotham.
Okay, so welcome to the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. I'm your only host, Matt Robotham, and today we're talking about wallpapering. That's a thing no one has anymore, right? Everyone's always painting their walls and stuff. What happened? I used to have a wallpaper that shit. Linoleum. Why is everything okay? No, this is okay. This is okay. Okay, start over. How the fuck do I start over? Okay. Welcome to the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. I'm Matt Robotham, and, shit. Okay. Okay. Paisley, come here. Come here, girl. No, don't walk away from... No, I have a biscuit. Don't walk away from me. Shit. Okay. It's fine. I can do this. Topic. So Batman is awesome, and I've done this a million times. Shit. Okay. What next? Flonk. Yes, of course. I'm going to call Flonk. That'll be great. I'm going to talk to him, and that will fill up some time, and then I won't have to worry about all this other crap that I have to do right now. So I'm just going to do that right now.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Flonk. Is Flonk there?
This is Flonk.
Really? Because you don't sound like Flonk. You sound clear and easy to understand.
But that's my name on Twitter, on Flonk.
Okay, well, this is Matt from Sarcastic Voyage.
The robot, Matt?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
That's me. I also have that account.
What?
I spell it R0B0TMAT. Robot Matt. That's mine.
You son of a bitch. Look.
I also have... My other screen names include ALGAR, B0UNE Cycle, Scott ZI01K0, that's the one I use when I'm sad. Hello, Jesse Pants, El Quattro, and Hipster Charles.
You son of a bitch. Okay.
What? Those are all my names.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Look, it's actual
fun. And I use them every single day.
Do you?
All the time. I'm using one right now.
Oh, good.
Hello, well, it's me, Matt, type.
You son of a bitch! Unhand my shitty Twitter account.
Never, it's mine. You can't have it. You know, who is this? You're interrupting my vacation.
This is actually
Disney World.
Oh, are you? Oh, good.
My full name is Plambert J. Disney, and I'm here to take my rightful place as ruler of this magical kingdom.
I hate you, Plambert.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I paid extra to have breakfast with Pooh.
Plambert! Okay, no, I can do this. I am going to call Al and just get a little help on this, and that will be great. So I'm going to start that now, and yes.
Hello?
Oh, Al, yes, hi, how's it going?
Matt, I'm in Venice. I'm on a vacation. I'm enjoying myself. Why are you calling me?
So it's going good, then.
I'm in a gondola. It's beautiful here. Yes, oh my God, why didn't I quit that podcast months ago? This is so great.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that everything's going fine here, too.
Okay, you remember to say yes, hi, hello, right?
Yes.
That's how you open the show?
Yes, I definitely will put that in later.
Okay. Oh, we didn't even talk about editing. Whoa.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, listen, we're about to pull up to the shore here. The guy's finished his little O Solo Mio song. I gotta go.
No, I
What?
No, you go. It'll be fine.
All right.
Fuck. Okay. I can do this. I'm going to prove it to him that I can do this. I can't do this. What the fuck am I thinking? I can't do this. I can't do... Okay. I'm going to call him again. Super casual. It'll be fine.
Hello?
Yeah, hey! Me again!
Matt, I'm at Bingo. What do you want?
That was fast.
What do you mean that was fast?
Well, is there like a bingo parlor right next to the Venice?
Venice? No, I'm at home. I'm in Seattle. I'm at Bingo. Did he say I-17? God damn it. What do you want? You're distracting me. I think I'm about to win big. I'm about to get $27. What do you want?
Listen, everything's going fine here. I just thought that I would call and see how you're doing and maybe what...
Bingo! Gotta go, Matt. See ya.
Fucking balls! Okay. Oh, dear. Maybe I have some poetry I can read? Maybe some no, visual podcast. Not a visual podcast. No dancing, no juggling. Fuck, I'm so good. Okay, one more time. That's all it's gonna take. Al. Hey, buddy. Pal.
Huh?
Friend.
What?
Yes. Hey. Hi. How's it going? Hey, I remembered that time. Yes. Hi. Hello. The times we used to have on this show. How's it going?
It's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping. I sleep normal hours like a person. What do you want?
I was just doing a great show, by the way. Awesome. Absolutely perfect. No flaws at all. I just thought how awesome it would be to, you know, send you the possibility about maybe getting the band back together, you know, one last show, really show people how it's done, you, me, we got mail.
Matt, it's, okay, first of all, it's the middle of the night.
Is it? Oh, good.
Secondly,
I wanted to make sure you were home.
In the Pacific Ocean, do I have to, you want me to swim out there and you're going to open the hatch for me? I mean, you don't even know how to do that, do you?
I can manage it. There's a button here marked open.
Odd
no,
bay
you
doors. Don't. You got to go to the surface before you open the door.
Oh, right, because of the sea. Right.
You know what? Fine. I will give you training wheels this one last time. Here's what you do. You tell the people you're taking a break. You go to a break. You push the big button that says break. It'll play the little music that you always love to dance to.
Yeah, no,
to.
No,
remember,
I see it.
Remember the dancing,
it.
Right? Okay. You hit that. Don't hit the other button that says break the sub.
Okay.
That's another one that will actually break the submarine.
So
I hit
break the sub, and then we
no,
go to commercial.
No, don't leave that. Just don't touch that one.
Well,
no,
I mean, they're spelled the same.
No.
That just seems like a poor decision.
No. There's one that stops the sub, like breaks it.
Uh-huh.
Like break. And then there's one that sends the show to break.
Right.
They're spelled differently. B-R-A-K-E. I'm sorry, I'm tired. I just woke up. B-R-A-K-E, B-R-E-A-K.
Right, and I want the B-R-E-K.
Sure. I don't know. Just go to break, play a, we did a, I don't know, there's probably a Cal Spanish or SV International or something. Just throw one of those things in there, and I guess I'll be down there in a bit.
Okay.
Tell them you'll be right back, and I'll be there shortly.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. After the
And now it's time for Spanish lessons with Juan D.
Cuando mi vaca va a restaurantes finos, ella usa un babero. No porque haga un desastre, sino porque le gusta sentirse con clase.
When my cow goes to fancy restaurants, she wears a bib. Not because she makes a mess, but because she likes feeling classy. This has been a Spanish lesson with Juan D. Next week, he will teach you another one.
All right, so we will be we got Scott Zioko back to do wrap up the Choose Your Own Adventure thing.
I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing how we all die a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah, you might not die.
No, we probably will.
I might
never
live.
Know.
Yeah, you'll probably make it out fine, Dave, but the rest of us are doomed. That's my guess.
You always seem to walk away from tragedy unscathed.
All right, Scott, so if you could, take it away.
All right, well, we're going to start with Dave first, even though he's usually the last one. Dave, just a quick recap with yours. You started out in a fiery inferno that you caused yourself. You matched wits with a couple of elves, which turned into elf hulks when your hands were on fire. You touched their head and burned all their heads off. You started dancing around crazy because your hands were still on fire, which caused a new dance sensation with the elf hulks, which you then decided to start your own late night television show with the elf hulks as your band leaders. So that's where we left off. So basically what's happened with Dave is I gotta get my good Dave voice on. You started your own late-night talk show. It was a roaring success, and you managed to go on for a solid 15 years. Until suddenly, your late-night co-host suddenly gets popular himself and accepts a deal with a network. The network would really like your co-host to take over for you. Do you, A, back down quietly, knowing that you've made enough money doing your late-night show? B, tell the guy to go... F himself. Sorry, I have to keep this PG. Tell the guy to go F himself and keep on doing the show. Or C, create an underhanded way to keep the show and then take it back over after 6 months.
Ooh, topical.
Wow, this is you've really reached into your imagination, Scott, and pulled a scenario that could not possibly exist in real life, because who would be that big of a jerk?
I know. I'm known for my originality. Only I can imagine.
I wasn't even calling you out for your originality. I'm just saying that sort of evil that you're talking about there couldn't possibly exist in the real world.
Never. Not at all. Well, Dave?
Well, step one is obviously grow a beard.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Well, I do enjoy evil. I've tried telling bosses to go fuck themselves, and quite frankly, that doesn't turn out well. So that option's out. I like C. Let's see. I think my plan would be to come up with some sort of a, I got it. I come back with a Penn and Teller style routine to get myself on the show. And in this, I have a large, clear box that I need this, you know, the new host to get into as, you know, part of the trick, the audience participant, if you will. He climbs in and I fill the thing with tequila and put a lid over the top so he can't get out. And he's thinking this is an escape the drowning box trick. Little does he know, I pull away a tarp to reveal the bottom of the box is in fact a blender. I turn to the audience. Will he blend?
and hit the button and create a traitor margarita. And I laugh as I drink the remains of my slain foe.
Well, Dave, your choice has led you to having an internet uprising cause against you, which causes thousands and thousands of internet geeks to flood your studio and consequently mob destroy you. And so you end up dead.
But internet geeks don't leave their houses. They just comment.
This is a special breed of internet geek that you accidentally genetically engineered because you're evil.
Oh. Huh. Damn it.
You'll occasionally get
I forgot to turn off the experiment when I left. Always happens.
I, for one, would like a team blended margarita dead co-host t-shirt.
Okay, so are we ready for the next one?
Yeah, please do.
Yep.
All right, so with Matt... Matt, your story basically went, you left the dungeon, went home, decided to finally get that copy of the Protectors you needed. You found instead a copy of the Warriors of Plasm, which made you remember the time when you were a young Matt and you met Cannibal Jim Shooter at an old lady's garage sale. You decided to create a porcelaintron out of her old creepy porcelain dolls, teamed up with Cannibal Jim Shooter, and proceeded to take over the world. Cannibal Jim Shooter had just left your group, and you had decided to hire Cannibal Fabian Nicia to take over all of Cannibal Jim Shooter's old duties.
Ah, yes. I remember it well.
So that's where we left off. So, Matt, what happens is, right when you're about to retake over the world with your new group, you suddenly wake up and realize that you've been standing in the comic book shop this whole time. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have my Dave voice again. Hold on. You realize you've been standing in the comic book shop this whole time. How long have I been here? Regular Matt says. Comic book shop says, 5 months. I've been standing here staring at you for 5 months waiting for you to decide whether or not you want this copy of Warriors of Plasm or not. Oh, well, I guess not. And regular Matt decides to step out into the street. Does regular Matt A, go home without any food again? B, decide to go get a pizza? Or C, do the Cupid shuffle in the middle of the street?
I think the answer here is clear. I do the Cupid shuffle in the middle of the street.
I'm sorry, for point of order, what is the Cupid shuffle?
It's a dance, you know, that da da do you a do you a da da. It's kind of like it's some dance.
Very well.
Well, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I sold it so well. all right. Well, Matt, your decision was ill-advised because doing a dance in the middle of traffic is a bad idea, considering of all the oncoming traffic. So you get hit by a car, and now you are dead.
It was worth it.
Nice going, Matt.
Dance your way out of that one.
Oh, God. This
that
does
gypsy
not...
was right.
That gypsy said a lot of things. One thing ended up being right. It's a coincidence.
Gypsy was sniffing glue. Come on.
Oh, God. I suppose it's my turn now. This does not bode well. The odds are not in my favor. All right, yeah. Scott, please remind me what I don't even remember. I was yelling at some things. That's all I really remember.
Al, you walk down a corridor a lot.
Story of my life.
That's your whole recap.
How many corridors must a man walk down?
What do we do, like 12, I think? 12 corridors.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've been in a lot of corridors. You basically are back at square one, and you decide to instead go for option B, option C, which was the one that Matt chose during his adventure when we started this.
Right. That's right. I decided that I was making horrible decisions, and that Matt should decide for me because his judgment is always so sound.
Oh yeah.
So all right. So you ready?
Yep.
All right. Dave voice again. This adventuring shit is for fuckheads. You decide to make your way out of the dungeon. You have an entirely uneventful trip back to your apartment and realize that you are rather hungry. Because you chose not to continue your quest, you are quite low on funds and must now eat whatever is available at your place. Do you A, finish off the Lucky Charms, completely avoid the marshmallows and mostly the dried, dusty-like crumbles of oat pieces? B, try that leftover slice of pizza that's sitting in the fridge for you've forgotten when? Or C, attempt to make a sort of lasagna out of salsa packets from Taco Bell and the paper from unread issues of Dinosaurs for Hire?
Sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it does. Also, all of those sound deadly. This is, oh god. Also, I thought you were keeping it PG. What happened to fuck this adventure shit?
I'm not allowed to answer that question because the reason why I'm trying to keep it PG is staring at me right now.
I see. Must have left the room, I hope.
Not quite yet. Honey, okay. Do you want to say hi really quick before you leave the room? Just say hi.
Hi.
Okay, now you can leave. Go.
Go away now. Daddy needs to swear.
Okay.
Well, she can't hear you guys anyway, so I'll have to keep it PG on my end. Okay, go ahead.
All
sorry.
Right. That's all right. Of those three, I would say the least deadly. Ah, fuck it. I'll just do what I want. The lasagna one sounds good. Obviously, that was an option before. You seem to be really keen on that one. Plus, my other two cohorts in adventuring also chose C, so I feel like a little solidarity's in order. So, C.
Yeah, it worked out so well for us.
Well, unfortunately, Al, you don't have any issues at Dinosaur for Hire, so you end up dying of starvation.
Oh, dead. Damn it!
He knew about your lack of Dinosaur for Hire.
I was going to say that, and I figured, oh, this is a fantasy story. Maybe fictional me does, but I guess not.
No. All nope. Across the many multiverses, Al still hates comics.
Damn it.
And in this one, he's staring at a plate full of Taco Bell sauce.
Oddly enough, you got like 18 copies of Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, if you would have just gone for the Archer and Armstrong or your Eternal Warrior complete set, you would have been fine.
Or all those unsold copies of Revenge of the Intermen.
Damn it.
Or the stacks of yellowing copies of Tales of the Odd. See, nobody even remembers what that was to laugh at that. That's
I can't eat this. This is art.
Very nice. Well, Scott, I appreciate it. This has been a great bit over time, and maybe one day we can come back to this. It's been a lot of fun until the end there. But, that's how these stories end. So, you know, you did good. You stuck to the premise.
Just following tradition.
Of course.
Well, the age-old tradition of choose your own adventures.
Which always end with everyone dying, always.
The death of small children.
Yep. Anything you want to plug while you're here? Anything you want to let the people know about?
Nothing that I have actually done yet. I actually have a sandwich waiting for me, so I got to get going.
All right, so this episode is brought to you by Scott's Sandwich.
All right, Scott, we appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take
care. See
you, man. Bye.
All right, see y'all later.
And now, as part of their court-mandated community service, Al and Matt present an educational trip around the world with Sarcastic Voyage International.
Welcome back to Sarcastic Voyage International. A bastion of completely accurate facts.
That's right, Al. This week we'll be examining the land of darkest Peru.
Yes, Peru. In 1737, Ponce de Leon discovered Peru during his search for the Fountain of Youth. Instead, he found something better.
The Peruvian locals had bonded with the proud and majestic llama. They had adapted a society that could be beneficial to both man and llama. While man provided food and lodgings, and the llama provided transportation, dug for truffles, and excreted a rich silver salve from their pores, which got Peruvians wicked fucking high.
Unfortunately, this simple, beautiful way of life came to an end with the arrival of Ponce de Leon. Seeing an opportunity for profit and a simple race of herbivores who could polish his conquistador helmet for next to nothing, de Leon conquered Peru in one bloody night.
Historians, specifically us, called it the Night of Sad Llamas, as over 800,000 innocent llamas were put to the sword. The remaining llamas were transported around the world to provide truffles for rich kings that Ponce de Leon owed money to. It was also discovered that their tears provided a cheap source of gasoline for early 1700s automobiles.
De Leon left Peru to continue his fruitless search for the Fountain of Youth. Unfortunately, he was completely unaware of the tragic damage he'd done to Peru's ecosystem. The most important role that llamas provided was devouring the Peruvian berry bushes.
The carefully monitored berry bushes were the only thing that kept the 10,000-foot worms of Peru in check. With so many uneaten berry bushes, the worms were free to devastate Peru, leaving damage that can still be seen to this day. This is why Peru is still referred to on all maps as the Forbidden Zone.
Sad chapter in Sarcastic Voyage International. Not the last time we would hear of the monster Ponce de Leon as he carved a bloody path toward his ultimate goal of the fabled Fountain of Youth.
This has been Sarcastic Voyage International.
All right, why don't we answer some mail?
Yeah, we should do that. That will be a good way to fill this goddamn thing.
Now that Matt has dragged me back reluctantly, I guess we should do some mail. All right, first one comes from Flunk. He says, right. Dear Alan Matt, how are you? I don't care. Recently, you brought up the hockey team, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, which of course are named after the titular team in the classic film, The Mighty Ducks. Did you know there was also a Saturday morning cartoon called The Mighty Ducks, which featured superhero ducks with hockey-themed powers that live beneath the arena? It was the 90s, so they were extreme ducks. Here's in the Jersey Devil, Flunk.
I actually totally do remember that show. I think that might have been the last Disney Afternoon show before they stopped doing them.
I can't imagine why they would have stopped after that. They were in such a role.
Oh, yeah.
Subterranean hockey-playing ducks.
Yeah, it was another one of those goddamn Ninja Turtle spinoffs that were so popular in the 90s.
Right.
Well, radioactive kung fu hamsters.
Yeah, big fat freaking frogs.
Biker mice from Mars.
If you're doing a list, you got to do it in the Hank Hill voice.
Biker mice from Mars. Some sort of extreme toad, I suppose.
See, I missed out on the whole extreme thing. Fortunately, I was, a little older than you guys, obviously, and out of school, and I didn't have TV for a while. So, it wasn't one of those, oh, I don't watch TV. I literally didn't have TV. So I missed most of what was on in the 90s until about 97 or so. So
yeah, for the most part, you really weren't missing anything.
No, I did try to watch Deep Space Nine and Batman the Animated Series. But other than that,
some decent seasons of The Simpsons. But I mean, that's about it.
I actually came to that party kind of late. I stopped watching and then realized it had gotten really good and kind of looped back around. Yeah, I know. All right, next one also comes from Flonk. Oh, and we're delivering messages to other people from people. That's great.
Oh, good.
Dear Laura, he says, shut your face hole, an envelope is a steak. Your BFF, Flonk. Our stupid, I say stupid. Our free email service that we're using on the web to read our email has taken now to underlining words in emails and hyperlinking, to ads. If it picks up on that we're talking about Star Trek, it'll link us to a Star Trek thing or whatever. That's how it's supposed to work. The way it has worked is you click on the word envelope and it takes you to something that has nothing to do with envelopes. It's very distracting.
It takes you to a steak site.
Yeah, it takes you to Outback, oddly enough. All right. Do we have anything additional on the whole envelope steak thing? Do we want to keep out of this one? I don't even know.
You know what? I'm going to let these two hash it out.
Very well.
After the horse discussion, I'm not going to be drawing Laura's wrath.
You're not going to be poking that glaring bear?
No.
Very well. It's a cute bear, Laura. That wasn't a diss. Just, I like poke the bear. It's one of those things.
I'm not going to poke the bear the size of a human mother. No! No, I'm sorry!
Oh, God. You just have to push that stake, don't you? All right.
I'm going to die.
Yep. Speaking of which, do you hear that noise?
What is that?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous. A little worried about that.
That's fine.
I'm sure when we're finished, we need to get a guy in here to look at the submarine. That's not cool.
Look, nothing bad has ever come of a rhythmic pounding.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. All right, next email comes from Pat McDonald. And he says, Dear Sarcastic Voyage, this one's for the ladies. And it comes with some attachments, Matt, if you would be so kind as to...
Oh, of course. I'll just click this here and... Ah!
We will, of course, with a warning, provide these for you in the show notes. These are actually old pictures. I've seen these before. Well, I haven't seen the one with the boxers, but...
Yeah.
They are pictures of Pat's presumably nude body. Of course, in one he's just wearing a tie. That's classy.
Get some socks in there and you're, wow.
Yeah. With the comic book strategically placed over his naughty bits, what I find interesting is that these are all stamped with a website. Mm-hmm. These are all watermarked as though his penis is the property of whatever site this is. So yeah, enjoy that. It is in fact for the ladies. So ladies, I guess you got to look at concealed junk.
I'm sure you will enjoy that.
We're not going to let you off the hook on this one. If you're female and you're listening, you know, even if you're gay, or even if you're not gay yet, you will be.
This one's for you, ladies.
Yep. Our next email is actually addressed to Dave. Matt, do you remember the summon Dave chant?
Aren't we supposed to turn around in the mirror and say his name three times?
I thought we were supposed to write his name backwards.
In the snow?
Evad. I don't know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Dave, get out here.
Yeah, there we go.
Who summons the voice?
Oh, shit. He did.
Got a question here for you.
Yep, there's a question in the box. So does this count as one of our wishes? Are we using up...
I will grant you these wishes if you can answer the... screw that. Yeah, what's up? What's up? What's
all right. Well, our pal Sleep, Thomas, has written an email for you. He would like to know, I'm quite curious about your adventures in minimalist footwear, specifically whether you've transitioned to the Vibram Five Fingers, and if so, why, in what capacity, what your experiences have been. If you did not, in fact, go all toe-y, why not? Also, I've enjoyed your podcast, except for the parts where Nick and Willikins do those stupid Matt and Al bits. Keep fighting the good fight, Sleep.
Well, I agree with you on the Nick and Willikins. I mean, it's a great show. We just need to cut out that little those extra parts that aren't really pulling their weight.
Yes. How about that?
Huh. Isn't that something? So he wants to know about your creepy foot gloves.
My foot gloves. Well, you know, actually, you know, I bought those to wear when I go kayaking, which I haven't actually done since I bought them. I tried them on, walked around with them for a while. They, you know, they sure do go on my feet. So, yeah.
That seems like a bit
I haven't really taken them out in the wild yet, mostly because of my fear of having hordes of young children point and laugh.
That's what keeps me in the house at all times. You try having... What's that?
No, go ahead.
You try having bright orange hair and see how children react to you. It's not pretty.
I just like to point out that Vibram Five Fingers sounds like a Romanian pickpocket.
Well, Dave, it seems like a bit of a waste of a summoning here just to get essentially a yes or no question here. So
yeah, it does.
Why don't we pull another one completely at random from the pile of questions we have here?
All right, what do we got? What do we got?
This one comes from Pat McDonald. It is mercifully not naked pictures.
Oh, thank Christ.
Yeah, you weren't here earlier, but he sent us some pretty. Yeah. Well, they'll be in the show notes if you want to cruise over and take a look.
Isn't this the same guy who posed like naked with his dog or something?
Yeah,
a while back.
Yeah, poodle douche. You know that guy. and he writes, "Dear dudes." He even acknowledges this. I may have gotten drunk and sent you dirty pictures. I'm not sorry. I can't help what drunk Pat does. Guy's an asshole. Anyway, a question for you, since you're apparently going to be too good for this sort of thing fairly soon. What are your best, oh Jesus, I can't believe I did that drinking stories? Either events that you kind of remember or were informed of at a later date. Sent lovingly for my new toilet, which has a too small seat that hurts my ass and will probably cause hemorrhoids. Patty Daddy Ding Dong.
I think he's still drunk.
Oh no, he always, what I like is, you guys, you know, I didn't leave any of that out. I didn't shorten that in any way. This is a full, very well-spoken three-paragraph email that he composed on the toilet. Like, it's not a text message. It's not a, are you okay? There's, you know, there's big words here. He sat and really typed all this out while sitting on the can.
Apparently his toilet side thesaurus.
Yeah, I couldn't say that.
It's strange how so many of your listeners think of you while they're on the toilet.
Well,
thankfully you've weeded out the voicemails.
As long as they make some kind of association with us, it doesn't really matter what, you know. Mm. That's as long as there's no such thing as bad publicity, Dave.
what's this on the back of the door? For a good time, write to podcast at...
For a good time, call 206-973-3982.
Dear Sarcastic Voyage, this is not as good a time as I was led to believe.
Oh, Christ. All right, so... you guys have any, I got so drunk I blacked out and did something I forgot stories, or, I can't imagine you do, Dave, but, you know.
Me? No.
Not that you can remember, anyway.
Well, Matt's probably too young to drink, so I don't think he would have any.
He's old enough, look at his beard.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see, there let me see if I can think of one that I'm not too ashamed to tell.
Are you within reach of your regrets cabinet? Like, you have a whole file cabinet with your various regrets filed by, what is it, alphabetical, chronological?
Yeah, I think there was a file cabinet under that pile somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. You're not known for keeping things organized.
Well, it long since filled up, and I stacked on top of it and beside it, and now there's just a large mound.
Well, plus when your elementary school released your permanent record, you stuck that in there with the rest of it. Ooh. So.
That was a dark day. They swore that would remain sealed.
Well, you had to add to it, though, didn't you? You had to just keep regretting things. One day when you're in AA, it'll be so much easier to, you know, to list
hey,
all
hey,
that stuff.
Hey, I'm no quitter.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Anyway, you got a story.
What about AAA?
Yeah, AAA would be fine.
Well, there was that one. Well, Jesus. There was that one New Year's Eve, and this wasn't really a, I can't believe I did it. It was more of a, holy shit, how did I end up here?
There was a time you found yourself in Baltimore, I know that.
But I did that sober.
That's true, you got drunk after you got there.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
For various reasons, I regretted being drunk that night, but that's another story. Yeah, there was one New Year's Eve. I had to work late that night, so I couldn't actually go out and attend any sort of New Year's Eve celebration. Mm. So I just, you know, stocked up for my own self.
Sure.
Got myself a bottle of champagne because, hey, it's New Year's Eve. Bottle of Jack Daniels, some Coke, Coca-Cola, wasn't that good a New Year's Eve.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's the next email. figure, okay, well, you know what, I'll have my own little celebration. So I go home, and, you know, I pretty much just, you know, it gets to be close to midnight, pop open the bottle of champagne, and pretty much just chug that puppy right down. I mean, just,
sure.
Yeah, the whole bottle, no ceremony, no, you know, little delicate glasses with my pinky extended. No, I just fucking drank.
The French champagne.
Deep throat of the bottle and just, and started mixing myself some Jack and Cokes. And I, you know, at some point midnight came and went and, you know, woo.
Did you say woo Jack and, at least?
Possibly. It starts to, the evening kind of, you know, fades in and out of memory. But I do recall at some point Jack, you know, being a bad influence, whispering in my ear, hey, man, you know, it sure is a lot of needless effort mixing the Jack and the Coke. You should just do shots.
By yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
You know.
So, I mean, because, I mean, listen, it's been a while since I've had, you know, a fair amount to drink, but I do recall the best kind of shots experiences being kind of a competitive thing. By yourself, it kind of loses that whole element.
Well, you know, like I said, the point was, you know, I missed out on the New Year's Eve celebration. I'm going to get myself shit-faced.
Fair enough.
Which I sure did.
What year was this, incidentally? What New Year's?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's been...
Well, put it this way, it was
more than 10 years ago.
Okay, so it wasn't you couldn't like jump on Twitter and tell everyone how much you regret everything.
Oh, no.
Or
no.
Text someone or IM someone or whatever, like, you know, before all that.
I could have instant messaged, but I'm just trying to think of the time.
Yeah, but I was trying to think of regrettable things you could do by yourself when you're really, really drunk, and the internet's really the only thing that comes immediately to mind.
I was probably on AOL at the time.
All right.
Yeah, it was definitely before the Baltimore trip. So, yeah, you know, hey, man, you should just do shots. So I started doing that. And had to stop. Well, told myself it was time to stop. Still had that little, just that little extra bit of judgment in the back of my mind going, okay, look, you're no longer able to line up the bottle with the glass. That means it's time to stop.
Yeah.
You know, drunken logic. Yeah, put the booze in the glass. I guess I've stopped drinking. And Jack was apparently, you know, off doing something else, so he couldn't whisper in my ear, hey, man, don't bother with the glass. Just drink from the bottle. Because, you know, that was Jose's thing, that motherfucker. But that's another story.
Uh-huh.
So I don't recall a whole lot after that. I just, you know, remember waking up the next morning and laying in bed, just kind of, you know, slowly, you know, because you know how when you first wake up and you're kind of groggy and
sure,
just kind of looking over and staring at myself, my reflection in the mirrored doors in the closet, mm-hmm. and thinking, don't remember having mirrored doors in my closet.
Uh-oh.
Hmm. I don't have mirrored doors in my closet. Where the fuck am I?
So you didn't redecorate. Where's my you didn't shirt? You didn't drunkenly redecorate your place. You're somewhere else apparently.
No. I just, you know what? This isn't my bedroom. Where's my shirt? And then said a silent prayer, lifted up the covers. Oh, the pants are still there. Okay. Couldn't have been too bad. Now, at the time, I was renting a room from this guy who owned a house, and I was I pretty much rented half the house is what it amounted to, but somehow I had stumbled into his bedroom.
Oh God!
My own. Now, just to add to this uncomfortable image, this guy, he's an older guy, looked a lot like Rodney Dangerfield, who had let himself go.
Right.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't the guy you live with now, right? This is
no
different guy. Okay.
So yeah, well, unfortunately for me, he rarely or pretty much never slept in his room.
Okay.
For some reason, he slept on the couch in the living room all the time. That was just his, and it was kind of a weird setup in this house. There were two living rooms, four bedroom. I mean, it was a fairly good sized house. So, I mean, like I said, you know, when I say I rented half the house, it was pretty much literally he had one side of the house. I had the other side and. But yeah, I was just
you know, waking up in his bed.
How? What? So glad the pants were still on.
That's that.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, that would be my embarrassing drinking story. Either that or the first night of Emerald City last year. Kind of a toss up.
Which talking to you on that bleary eyed Sunday as you were pulling out, you pretty much recounted the visit as starting with night two. Okay, so somehow I was already here. So on the second night, wait a minute. You left something out there. Oh, but we were there. We saw you and we got footage.
I'm pretty sure I've destroyed most of that footage.
We still have some. It's
we're hunting down the last few of the rebel spies.
It's in my cabinet. Which is a whole other thing. All right, Matt, you got something? Or
I don't really have a booze story. I'm not a big drinker. I do have a crack story, though.
What?
Wait, is that like okay? I mean, you know, we like to have laughs. We like to exaggerate. You obviously you didn't actually smoke crack, right?
No, but I got a Not a con. Is it a con? Fuck.
Contact high.
A con. I did get a con. Crack contact high.
Actually, literally from crack.
Yes.
So you're crack, a secondhand crackhead.
Yes.
Wow.
I was back when I was 19 or 20. I used to work when I used to work the night shift at Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
We would get off at 1, and my buddy, who's also named Matt, would pick me up, and we would go get fucking completely baked.
On weed, right?
Yes, on weed.
Okay.
So, time came, Matt's girlfriend broke up with him, and the way he would deal with his girlfriend breaking up with him is that he would go off and do things. There was the time that he decided to go off, that his girlfriend broke up with him, and he decided to go off and live on a mountain. which lasted until it started raining and he came home. So he had been working at a gas station in a really shitty part of town and had befriended a guy named who was named Dave, because apparently everyone in this story is named after people who are on this podcast.
I guess so. If you find another Algar, I got to have words with him.
This Dave...
Been looking for that guy.
This Dave... as far as I could tell, was a pimp, drug dealer, yep. and had gotten out of prison for murdering a guy. Well, he was the guy that he was the guy that Matt bought his pot from.
Hmm.
And so Matt says to me, "Matt, you want to get high?" So my buddy says to me, "Matt, you want to go get high?" I'm like, "Of course I do. It's 1 a.m. He's like, "Okay, well, we got to go see Dave and pick up some pot." I'm like, "I don't want to go see Dave. He's creepy." But we went anyway.
Did he have a mustache?
No, but he did have a couple of underage girls that he kept around the house.
Oh, well, that's basically the same
Al's thing.
Yeah.
That's true. Now I'm in the story. Good. Okay.
So we get there. He's fighting with one of his underage girlfriends. She decides that she needs a lift to Guilford, which is a little town not far from here.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, of course, offers to give her a lift. At this point, I should point out that we have not had any pot yet.
Well, so at least you're not paranoid.
No. Well, no more than usually so.
No more than this situation would generate just to a normal person, right?
Yes. So we drive into Guilford. We go and wait outside of Boston Pizza for her to pick up this dude she's here to pick up. And everyone proceeds to smoke crack. I am offered some.
You were passed a crack pipe? Is that how it was done?
I am passed a crack pipe.
Okay.
I respectfully decline.
Bitch tried to set you up.
Yes. No, the bitch didn't. My friend did.
Oh, okay. Well,
because he decided that the only way he could escape the pain of his girlfriend breaking up with him was through crack.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Crack, which is known for its soothing effects.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Rich, well, soothing crack cocaine. Doctor recommended.
It certainly soothes the teeth out of your mouth.
I thought that was meth, or is it both?
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
I do like that Dave has pointed out that I do miss the days when doctors would just brazenly go on TV and advertise for crack. Those were the good old days. They're away from us now, but you're probably too young to remember that, Matt.
Now, that is going back a while. So yeah. Now it's like 2:30 in the morning. We're outside of a Boston Pizza waiting. The only restaurant in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for this girl's friend to come so we can drive him back to Cloverdale where I live.
Mm-hmm.
We're just about to go home and I'm thinking, thank fuck for that. When he shows up and asks if we can possibly drive him home. So now we're driving him home. We still haven't gotten any pot.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt decides that instead we're going to go back to Dave's place. We get back to Dave's place. Now it's 3 a.m. I have to work the next day. And everyone is on crack, including me, which it's slowly starting to dawn on me because I am in the middle of a panic attack and my heart feels like it's about to explode.
That sounds like my kind of drug.
Yeah. So we arrive back at Dave's apartment, go inside. No one is answering the door at Dave's apartment. Including the girl that he was fighting with, and there's an ambulance outside, and we are beginning to genuinely believe that he may have killed her.
Oh, God.
Now, luckily, that's not what happened. What did happen was that a guy upstairs had a nosebleed that didn't stop after 4 hours. over, so he called the hospital. But with nowhere to go, we leave again to take the various people we've somehow hooked up with home. Now it is 4 in the morning. Matt has still had no pot, nor has he punched anyone 2 times.
He hit the crack pipe once, the crack pipe 2 times.
I'm still marveling over the incredible universal healthcare in Canada where you can call an ambulance for a nosebleed.
Yep.
Anyway, continue.
So we leave the girl at the apartment so that hopefully she can see her friend or pimp.
Sure.
We take the guy whose name I still don't know. And we're going to take him home when he's like, oh, you know, listen, I live out in wherever. Don't worry about taking me home. Just get me to a hotel. Mm-hmm. And Matt's like, okay, you know, which one are you staying at? He's like, no, I just take me to any hotel. I don't actually want to stay there. I just want to steal a car so I can get home. Oh, okay. So we drive him around. I eventually lean over to Matt and go, Matt, you know, If we get busted for helping this guy steal a car, we will go to jail. Mm-hmm. And Matt, in a amazing display of intelligence, says to me, yes, but they'll have to catch us first.
Now, let me ask you one thing here. Are you sure you didn't just score some pot, go home, and play Grand Theft Auto?
No, this is true.
Okay.
So it's now 4:30 in the morning. We're still not, I still haven't had any pot. The guy we were supposed to pick up at 1 to smoke pot with is still waiting for us when we eventually go and get him. Mm-hmm. We drop off the guy at a hotel. I never thankfully see him ever again.
Yet. He remembers you. He'll see you one day.
Oh, yes. No, we pick up my friend. And they say, well, Matt, you still want to get high? I'm like, no, I want you to take me home so I can go to bed so I can get up tomorrow and go to work. And Matt says to me, don't worry. I'm going to pick you up tomorrow morning. I'm going to take you right into work. You don't have to walk over or anything. It's going to be fine. I'm going to get you some coffee. Everything's going to be fine. I'm like, okay. He dumps me at my house, 4:30 in the morning. I crawl into bed and proceed to stay wide awake for maybe 4 hours before I wake up, get ready for work. It never occurs to me to call in sick, which would probably be the thing to do after no sleep and being on crack.
Sure. That's right there in the employee handbook. If you know, if you're high on crack, don't come to work.
Yeah. So he picks me up at like a minute before I'm supposed to be at work. Mm-hmm. Takes me to Starbucks, buys a thing, hands it to me, and goes, drink that. I drink it. I'm like, okay, what was that? He's like, that was a triple shot of espresso.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, good, because I wasn't wired enough. And proceeds to leave me at work. I get in. I am dying. I have an 8-hour shift to work at Wendy's during the lunch rush on a Friday. I get in, and we are having an inspection.
Oh, God.
I'm also like 15 minutes late, and I proceed to stand at the grill for 8 hours straight, trying to convince myself not to just place my head on it and wait for sweet death. So no, I don't have a booze story, but I do have that.
Well, there's no possible way I'm going to top either of those. I mean, there was the time when I was 16 and I took 1200 milligrams of caffeine pills all at once and saw through time, but that wasn't... That wasn't as interesting as you might think.
Time, not that interesting.
No, I mean, that's why it's there. When you see through it, nothing on the other side. Just kind of boring.
All you really saw was something about a weird internet radio show.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense to me back in 1991. So I had a vague idea of what the internet was, but not like this. No, I must assume that I drink before I record because I remember absolutely nothing we do on this show. Every time I listen to an old episode, it's like, wow, I blacked out. Also,
well, let me ask you this: are you drunk right now?
Well, denial is the first symptom, right? So I don't know how to answer this. It's kind of one of those weird tricks. Also, I don't remember the year 2003, so I don't really think I need to drink. I think I got the blackouts handled already.
Well done.
But Pat, we appreciate your question, and Dave, we appreciate your time. If you wouldn't mind, we got to finish these questions up. Can you swing back to the submarine at the end of the show? Just check in. I got a couple of things I need to talk to you about.
Oh, sure thing.
So just pop back in when we're finished, and we'll hash a few things out. And
aye, aye, Captain.
All right. On to the next question. Next one comes from Tidro, and it is, it's a bit of a different thing here. She's provided a document that says for Algar's eyes only, so I'm opening it now. It appears to be in the format of Mad Libs, actually. There's a series of things you need to tell me so I can fill in the blanks here.
Well, all right.
All right, here we go, Matt. I will tell you a part of speech, and you will have to give, you know Mad Libs, you know how this works.
Uh-huh.
If you'd rather pretend that we're on Match Game, that would also be acceptable.
Oh.
There's a lot of blanks. You know there were people on Match Game who were not Charles Nelson Reilly, right?
I know, I just don't care.
Well, Richard Dawson was pretty great.
I'm sure all of them were wonderful, but Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, but the thing about Charles Nelson Reilly, and he is fantastic, but the thing about him on Match Game specifically is he's nothing without Brett Summers.
That is true.
They are foils for one another. He's got to have that drunk old lady next to him, giving him the setups. That's just how it works.
Oh, well.
It's like having the adventures of Willikins. It just wouldn't work. You got to have Nick in there, too. All right. For you folks at home, you don't have to listen to us filling in each and every blank. We'll be magically skipping ahead to the end.
Through the magic of editing.
Yes.
And well, it actual is, magic.
It's magic to you because you've never had to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now once again through the magic of editing, we're finished. Let's read to you what Matt came up with. Dear Zombie Jesus and Charles Nelson Willikins, have you ever had door? Do you find it crusty or lugubrious? Personally, when I dance it, it reminds me of my childhood pants. Once when I was 11-3, I spilled a Tupperware of it all over my mom's best shark puppet, and was punished for 70 billion weeks by not allowing to watch Hat. Anyway, if you haven't waltzed it, I Frenchly recommend it. Yours in Ogopogo, Tidro.
That was a damn good letter.
Wasn't it just...
Damn good cherry pie.
Damn good cherry pie, too. All right, next one comes from Scott Zioko.
All right.
Just here. And he writes, what are your thoughts concerning Whofur, the podcast for both Doctor Who fans who are furries, as well as furries who are Doctor Who fans? He provides a link, which we will certainly share with you.
Yeah, I gave this a look. Again, I am pretty much pro-like...
Well, you're not pro-furry, but you're not anti-furry.
Not pro-furry, but I'm certainly not anti-furry. Well, I respect their right to,
We have, from episode one on, said that we don't judge. We are friends to all kinks and strange oddities.
Yep.
So that said, what is the furry perspective on Doctor Who? Was someone demanding that?
Apparently...
Is that a thing we...
I get the feeling that with furries, it's just like, if you see something that doesn't have furries in it, you begin looking for ways to get furries into it.
So they're basically just duplicating our exact society with their version of everything.
Yes, exactly.
Like, why isn't there a furry American Idol? Why isn't there a furry Dr. House? Well, and
maybe
so
there should be.
I'm just thinking of Fox shows. I should probably, think of different things.
If you want to see a version of Firefly that stars an actual Firefly, more power to you, I guess.
That's not a furry, though. They're not furry. Or does that definition apply to people who dress up as things that don't have fur as well?
I think so, yeah.
Like, if you put on a frog suit, are you still a furry?
I mean, I've certainly seen, like, furry birds.
Fair enough. All right, then. Did you check out this podcast?
I haven't actually listened to the podcast yet, although it is certainly on my to-do list now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least one.
All right.
You know, may I listen to all podcasts?
That is a good point. Well.
Y'all know me.
At least our podcast will be around forever and ever, so.
Well, yes.
So we don't have to worry about that. What is that noise? All right.
Is that the pounding of the hideous heart?
No, I don't think that it is.
All right.
Man, now Telltale needs to do a version of that. See if Famous Mark can make that happen.
Yes.
One from next email comes from Juan, our Cal Spanish correspondent, and he writes, "Hola, hola, sí." what's better, sleeping when it's raining or waking up to a sunny morning? There's a second question, but let's address this one first because it takes a turn for the weird here.
Those are both good.
I actually have a white noise generator that plays the sound of rain when I sleep, and at this point, I have a hard time sleeping without it.
Well, so you don't need it to be raining when you go to sleep, so...
No, but it's the artificial sound of rain, which helps me. Actually, what it does is it drowns out all the noise in the neighborhood. It's not even, you know... Although rain does that nicely, too. If it's pouring rain, then usually there aren't children playing sousaphones outside my window. That happens a lot more than you'd think, and xylophones, and various musical instruments that end in phone. Banana phone. It's a mess out there.
So I was going ring, 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 ring.
Yeah, I definitely prefer that. I do like waking up on a sunny morning, especially, you know, it's a boring answer, but this time of year, when you get up early and the sun's already up, that's nice.
Yeah, I hate waking up in the middle of winter when it's like just pitch black
outside. You sleep in to like 10 a.m. and it's still like barely sliver of light. Just not,
yeah, it's like at best barely, it's like gray out.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, no, I would take...
The thing about this region of the continent that we live in is it doesn't really get cold in the wintertime. It just, the light goes away and it gets very gray and you know, you call it a robot apocalypse morning.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those. We get, to, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where we get our rep for it raining here all the time is because instead of it getting, you know, freezing cold, it just rains a lot. And, you know, it's so dreary. So, yeah, sun is more appreciated. A sunny morning is more appreciated here.
Yeah, I will always take that.
Yeah.
I enjoy a rain during the night, but given my druthers.
Away. Maybe a rain will come and wash away the sousaphones.
Yes.
And one second question. What would be better, putting your hands inside a tub full of mushy poop or watching someone eat it? And he does say sorry after that.
Now, my question here is, do I have to watch someone eat an entire tub of mushy poop? From the sound of it, I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah, where you're watching someone take a bite or two, is you can steal yourself, you can... Okay, I can do this. But yeah, if you have to keep watching it, you're right. That would be...
Yeah. No, in that case, I will take the hand every time. At least that's in, out. I can go wash.
Now, if I could somehow, you know, like I obviously can't plug my nose, but if I could somehow not smell it, I mean, it's going to be gross. Let's put that aside. Of course it's going to be gross. But in general, the feeling of something sort of warm and mushy on your hands is not entirely in and of itself unpleasant.
No.
If I could somehow not think of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow just imagine that it's something else.
Oh, I'm getting a little vomity over here.
Well, ooh. I think that was the idea. That's why he apologized.
Thanks.
Yeah.
A lot.
Thanks, Juan. Juan. Next email comes from... No, we'll get to that. Next email comes from Irish Gav. He says, dear pod people.
New potatoes.
That potato's got big ears.
I recently watched all of Justice League I recently watched all of Justice League eventually. So, recently or eventually?
No, I loved Justice League eventually. That was the one that came after Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, man.
It took place in the future, but most of it was just waiting for the show to start.
And I'm now making my way through Batman Beyond. Surely by now Kevin Conroy has said enough words as Batman that he can be Batman forever, no pun intended, with the use of audio editing. Yours, me. So, I mean, you know, it's that, like, Roger Ebert has that magic machine that says everything in his voice.
Oh, man, I would totally get one of those done by Kevin Conroy if my jaw fell off.
Yeah, I mean, that would be much better than, I mean, you know, the Majel Barrett one would also be okay.
Yep.
But, I think the Batman one, and he's probably right, because, I mean, between the Batman animated series had over 100 episodes, I believe.
Yep. Justice League.
And he played it in Justice League. He did a couple of appearances on the Superman show.
Yep.
And then Batman Beyond. Yeah.
Arkham Asylum games.
Yeah. Oh, Arkham Asylum. Yeah. You record hundreds of hours of dialogue for a game.
Yep.
Like, if you've done a bunch of games, that's enough in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you say, I can't do that, or, you know, looks like the Joker's over here, Or, you know, it's a pepper shaker. You know, they just record all that stuff, so. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
I'm Batman, and this is my pepper shaker.
Maybe when you were, I picture more as when you're working as a waiter. Would you like fresh ground pepper?
Welcome to the Olive Garden.
I still say, you know, and this is hardly a controversial statement here, but I still say Kevin Conroy is the only voice of Batman.
Like, yeah, no, I completely agree.
He's and I think we've mentioned this before. He was apparently the first guy to decide that Bruce and Batman should have different voices. Apparently, that had never occurred to anyone prior to him.
See, that's really cool to me.
Yeah, that's a very important part of the character, and it's amazing mm-hmm. that he had to invent that. And he says, "P.S. Enjoying Scott Snyder's run on Detective Comics at the moment." I don't even know what that is.
Me too.
What is that, gang code? I don't even know what that means. Is there English words there?
He's kicking ass on Detective right now.
Yes, Detective.
Detective.
All right, let's see. Our next email comes from, English Gav now. And he writes,
well, we have both our Gavs then.
We got all our Gavs in one basket. He writes, "What's up, y'all?" I would love to hear him in his Northern English accent say y'all. What do you think of reports that apparently the new Torchwood season is showing alternate versions? An Americanized one for America and one for Britain, removing all various cultural references the others may not get. David Mitchell called it a while back, but it seems more and more program makers are getting scared of making references that people may not get in fear of scaring them off, rather than it being part of the process of learning. I'll leave it there, it's starting to get lengthy. No, that was fine. In God We Trust, American Gav.
American Gav. American Gav.
I think he was removing the cultural references we might not get.
Ah, yes.
David Mitchell, by the way.
Why would I get those cultural references?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, you guys in some ways are closer to England culturally than you are to us. So
where's Canadian Gav?
That is a good point. Maybe you're Canadian Gav.
Maybe.
They have this whole Order of the Gavs thing. I think technically I'm American Gav, or at least I'm one of them. I think there are a few of us. But they have this whole...
if I'm Canadian Gav, I'll take it.
It's like Batman Incorporated, where, you know, various Gavs represent the brand across the world. Awesome. And while I have gotten special dispensation for my lack of beer drinking, I still participate in their other activities, like being lazy, watching science fiction on television.
I like that you have to explain it to me in Batman terms, by the way. It's like Tracy Jordan. Explain it to me using Star Wars.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. David Mitchell, incidentally, for the culture reference that maybe people didn't get, is one of my favorite panelists on the brilliant British show QI. And a great comedian in his own right. But that's how I know him best, is from that show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I like that. But one of the things, and I think you'll agree with me here, because we were both sort of Anglophiles growing up, one of the cool things about watching British stuff is kind of learning what that stuff was.
Yeah. I don't like this insistence that, like Americans only want to watch stuff about Americans, you know?
No, and I also think that over the last few years, as we've seen more and more specialized nerd things make their way into mainstream culture, I think we've proven that what people assume middle America want isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a show like Lost goes against every grain of, middle America, how's it going to play in Topeka? Shut up. Just shut up. Topeka likes it just fine. Yes, they liked it just fine. And I think they'll be fine turning on a show called, Torchwood mm-hmm. and seeing some British people saying, they're going to hang with some blokes down the pub.
This doesn't have any football in it. I was ready for some football.
I mean, Nick and Willikins, not that it's any great thing, but Nick and Willikins wouldn't exist if we weren't fascinated by all the strangeness of British culture.
Incidentally, Nick and Willikins plays great in Topeka.
Presumably. If there's anyone from Topeka out there who likes Nick and Willikins, please
let us know.
Back us up here. Yeah. I think that's something I've always enjoyed about watching stuff from other places. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. The one exception, and this is just me talking here, but the one exception I've always made is Japan, where I don't understand a fucking thing they're talking about. But, that's nothing against Japan. I don't get it.
Just like, what the hell are you talking about?
No, and I don't even mean that in a you know, I'm being shockingly racist for laugh bit. What I really mean is I don't have the cultural context when they make references to, like, Japanese mythology or something like that. I just, there's a lot of things in manga and anime and so forth that I'm just like, what are they referencing here? I am so lost.
Well, I mean, I had my anime and manga years, and there's even mm-hmm. some stuff, like some regular mainstream TV shows, like game shows, that mm-hmm. I just watch them all. What the hell is happening?
I just feel like I'm missing some vital frame of reference there, and I'm sure I can get it. But on the surface, I don't always completely get it.
See, I don't know if that's true. Like, as I watch a Japanese... This is true. As I watch a Japanese gentleman dressed up in, like, bondage gear, mm-hmm. running around yelling at people on the street, and this is in one section of the TV, and then there's sure. a border made up of Japanese words that are flashing, and then on another part of the screen is a woman in the studio audience giggling.
Yeah, see, I don't get that.
It's just, but I'm sure what the frig is happening?
The answer may very well be there is no answer. It may just be, you know, inspired lunacy, and you just need to turn off your brain and enjoy it. Mm. You know, it's just a show. You should really just relax.
I think the answer to this is just Japan.
Well, that's it. But again, I kind of wanted to cover my bases and say I'm not trying to be blanketly, you know, culturally insensitive. There's a big question mark in my brain, and I will call this my own flaw. It's my fault. I don't get it. But I usually have trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas foreign things from just about anywhere else, I can pretty much catch on and see what's going on.
Oh, but, sure.
For some reason, Japan, just I got a weird, I don't know, got a weird blind spot. Also, Pearl Harbor, never forget.
I can't.
All right, next email comes from Dirk Walker.
All right, private eye.
Are we still calling you Don Draper? I don't remember. So
Dirk Draper?
We'll just say both. Dirk, Don Walker.
Private Don Martin. Eye.
Schlorp. Alan Matt, would you buy me a calling card, please? Between those two questions, there are a total of seven questions. He obviously really wants a calling card. My parents are so lame and they won't buy me a calling card so I can call all my friends. Are those still a thing?
Dirk, if you can't buy your own calling card, then you really didn't deserve one, did you? Now, if you want to call your friends, then you have to work for it. You know, you have to get that summer job, mow some lawns, do babies.
He has a summer job.
Sit some babies.
He works in radio for real, like actual legitimate radio.
Wash some cars.
No, see, he's got a job that you and I should be jealous of because he's actually saying things on the air that people will hear.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm a little you know, he makes money doing what we aspire to. So Dirk, buy your own damn calling card.
Dirk, we will get you a phone card if you will get us on the radios.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
Anyone listens to them except for me anymore, but
back in the earlier days of my relationship with Amanda, when we were separated by a border and actually by most of the continent
and a moat, as I recall.
Yes, there was Bush had a thing where he wanted to build a moat.
Mm-hmm.
It was somewhere between here and BC. It might have been in, like, Michigan or something. I don't know. Very strange. But there was, this is before, you know, you could get cell phones with international calling plans, or at least that I was aware of. Mm-hmm. It might have been a thing, but I didn't know about it. There was these, I'm pretty sure these were, like, crazy, illegal, illegitimate, you know, calling cards that I would buy from some company based in Russia, probably. But I would pay $20 and I would basically be able to call her every night for 4 hours for like a month.
Wow.
They were inside. I would get like 100 hours or some crazy thing for $20. And I did it for a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they ripped me off once and that was it. They you know, they kept being there. So yeah,
I don't know how you carry on a long distance relationship in the days before Skype.
Yeah, exactly. That's how.
Jesus Christ, man.
We would do what you and Mal do now, you know, watch movies together, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't just sitting on the phone going, well, you hang up, no, you hang up. You know, it's just, that's the only way we could spend time with each other. So
I don't think I could possibly imagine the two of you doing that.
Well, Matt, there was also phone sex.
Fuck! I'm okay
just
now.
Just had to throw that in there.
All
right. Next one comes from Deke, and he writes, now that I know all your dirty little secrets, Algar, I'm going to extort you. Well, I just told you about the phone sex. What else is there?
Yeah.
I demand half of all profits from the podcast, not including merchandising. If you don't give me half, I'll take a quarter. But if you don't give me that, I'll reveal your secrets for all to behold. Okay, you asked for questions, so here are some questions. When can I expect my first check? Well, you didn't spell check in the Canadian way with a Q, so never. Does Matt use a teleprompter during the show? Also, can Matt read? I think you should field this one, Matt.
I'm sorry, I'm still waiting for the teleprompter to catch up.
But you can read, then.
Yeah.
Look, illiterate people don't speak slowly. They can still speak.
I'm sounding it out.
Oh, I see. Next one is, I didn't see you in church Sunday. Where were you? Oh, wait, I wasn't in church Sunday. Disregard that question. Good thing, too. When I started dating, I guess it was my, the previous Mrs. Algar, who we've had on the show once, we sat down for dinner with her family the first time, and her sister says, so what church do you go to?
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, God. And it turned out, like, I got to know these people later, and they were fine, and they weren't really like that. I don't know why she chose to open a conversation like that, but it put me on the defensive for a very, very long time. That is not something you want to hear as a person who, next question.
I just picture me in the background going, you believe in the devil. Matt, why are you even at this dinner? I don't even know you yet.
Yep. Next one. When you're plowing your fields, do you prefer to have the plow pulled by a donkey, a horse, an ox, or a human slave? That's all the questions I have for you for now. I prefer Matt's concrete donkey, actually. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason I have one.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, slavery was outlawed in this country, so...
Yeah, you're a monster.
Yeah, that's horrible. Also, my secrets, I have no idea what that even means. I'll pay you. Shh.
Isn't half of nothing nothing?
No, actually. Half of nothing is actually $250,000, strangely enough.
Oh, well, that'll
You're not very good at math.
Well, that'll be in an unmarked envelope outside of the 7-Eleven.
And by which he means an unmarked steak.
Yes.
Next one comes from Shauna, and she writes, Dear Sarcastic Voyage, Matt, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? I'm guessing not, since you don't believe in him at all. Right. Not going to get into that. Giggle.
The devil invited me to go dancing one time in the pale moonlight, but I just laughed. I just laughed and pointed at him, go, you're the devil.
People seem to be quite amused by your amusement of the devil. Oh, hang on. Did you hear that again?
Oh, God. What is that?
I don't know. I thought it stopped.
Fucking knock it off. Don't you think people are trying to work down here.
We're the only ones here. I mean, Dave's going to come back in a bit. But
that's right.
Otherwise, I don't know. I guess I should be worried about that. I don't know what?
Just turn off the radio.
Let's stay focused. Dear guys, this is from Shauna again.
All right.
If a movie of Sarcastic Voyage were made, who would play yourselves and other important members of the SV universe? I think John Cusack would play Scott.
I buy it.
Fun fact, did you know the Ziyoko father looks like Richard Gere? Not kidding. I hope he doesn't have a gerbil in the light bulb place.
Is that a thing Richard Gere did?
That is a long-running urban myth that I'm sure he probably didn't do. But now every time I hear
that... hamster.
No, it was a radioactive mutant hamster mighty duck.
It was a biker mouse from Mars.
Yes, he stuck a biker mouse from Mars in the light bulb place. I want that to stick. I want to start calling it the light bulb place. It sounds like a Shel Silverstein book.
Where the light bulb place ends?
Yes. But the Richard Gere thing was a... That rumor's been going on. It's like the Tom Cruise's gay thing. Like, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but it's funny to say. So who cares?
Right.
It's one of those, the more amusing truth is the actual truth. Mm. It's sort of a Matt fact writ large.
Which is the best kind of fact.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we hashed that out last week. Don't make me quit again. I don't know. I think we've addressed this. I think we've cast the Sarcastic Voyage movie. Tidra actually did a movie poster of it.
Yep.
Some time ago. But have you had any new thoughts on this?
I would like to be played by Jason Statham.
I know who that is in the abstract, but I don't think I've ever seen him.
Oh, man, you got to watch Crank. It is fucking nuts.
Do I have to?
I think you do.
All right. It just, I mean, I'm not even saying it's a bad movie. I'm sure it's fine for what it is. It just really doesn't seem like my kind of thing at all.
It's just so awesomely ridiculous.
Well, very well. I don't know. I don't have any new... recently, someone said that I look like Zach Galifianakis, that guy. I don't know how to say his name. I'm not trying to be funny there. Galifianakis?
Galifianakis?
The Hangover guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The big fat beard guy. So that was nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone was watching one of my old Transformers reviews. I had the full beard and probably not a skinny day. I don't have a lot of those these days. But yeah, they in the comments said, "LOL, he looks like Zach Galifianakis," or however you say that. Like, yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, go to hell.
Yeah. So still, that's the most negative comment that I've gotten, so...
I mean, you could do worse than Zach Galifianakis. He can play piano.
Yeah. I don't think he's that funny, but, you know.
Friends with Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that's true. He did have a great line in their Comedians of Comedy documentary. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like his stand-up, but there's a bit where he and Brian, what's his name, and Patton Oswalt are just in the woods walking, and they're all nude.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason at all.
Sure.
And they just pass each other like, "Hey, how's it going?" And Zach looks down and says, "Nice balls." And his delivery was just really great. I got a legitimate laugh out of that. Anyway, this one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, let's say Algar, Matt, and our guest were an evil villain. Although if this is already the case, I apologize for making this fact public. Damn it, now Deke knows my secret. What special evil talent would your number one henchman be able to do? Throw a hat that can cut things, for example.
Throwing a hat that can cut things is pretty cool.
It is, but it's been done. I mean, you want to... True. You don't want to just gather henchmen who are other guys' henchmen. I mean, what's the point? You already know how to defeat them. If you watch the movie, the hero eventually defeats them before defeating the villain. You want guys that are, you know, unbeatable.
I also like the guy with the steel teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Another guy. But again, didn't Bond end up defeating him before he went for the main guy?
Yes, that's why my guy would have not just steel teeth, but steel teeth hands, steel teeth feet, steel teeth on his knees, and steel teeth eyes. And okay, tiny steel teeth in his ears.
I'm pretty sure H.R. Giger has painted that exact thing already.
Steel teeth dick.
For me, I would like the ultimate... mine is also a pre-existing guy. I'm not going to improve on him in any way, like Matt apparently has. Instead, I'm going to go with Bob the Goon from the Tim Burton original Batman movie from 89. Bob the Goon was the quintessential head henchman.
Yep.
The only thing that took him out was the Joker. In and of himself, Batman didn't defeat him.
No.
He's unbeatable.
Batman certainly did not murder him in that movie.
Yeah, unlike all the other people that he murdered.
Yep.
Now, yeah, thank you, Comics Alliance, by the way, for opening my eyes to that.
Yeah, that was their remedial Batmanology articles have been just great.
Yeah, right now they've reviewed the first two Burton Batman movies and then the Schumacher one, and the main point they've really pointed out is there's not a lot of difference between them.
No.
They didn't suddenly get campy with Schumacher. They just got brighter.
Just very different takes on 60s Batman.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, but yeah, Bob the Goon would be my guy. Basically, I could... Well, I want to do my my impression of... fuck, what's the guy's name? One-arm push-up guy. Jack Palance. You know, you are my number one guy. That's pretty much it. That's why.
Also really good for painting a museum.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll bring his boombox.
Plus Bob the Goon.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean my friend Bob, because, you know, we're equals. He's not my subordinate.
No, but, although if he would like to take over as head goon, you know.
No.
He can send you a resume.
I have a few close friends, and putting aside the standard we hate each other thing, you know, you'd be part of that. It would be like a Legion of Doom kind of thing.
Now, see, I'm just picturing like Bob the Goon wore like a jacket with like a picture of the Joker's face on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would totally see your version wearing a jacket with like your Twitter avatar.
Yeah, exactly. That works for me. But no, like I'm saying, if I were a total, you know, world-dominating evil villain, there would be like a Legion of Doom thing where you'd be there and Bob and Famous Mark and probably Dave, you know, like, my close friends, the guys that I invited to my wedding. There would be, you know, we would be like a Legion of Doom kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There must be another precedent for that. I'm thinking Legion of Doom or something else, but I can't think of another.
Superman Revenge Society?
Eh. Do they have any good names in comics? Because it's always like that, or it's always like Flash's Rogues Gallery. Or,
I think
know,
the
like,
Superman Revenge Society is a fucking great name.
Of course you do. All right, next one comes from Thom.
All right.
He says, good news, everyone.
Oh, good.
We the people of Vulcanvania Stan have come to a decision on our conundrum vis-a-vis our issue with our national anthem. We've decided to go... Oh, he's apparently decided to go with nothing that we suggested.
Oh, well, screw you, Thom.
We've gone A Night on Bald Mountain with some vaguely Latin-sounding chanting going on in the background.
Now, I do like that song.
I don't actually know that song.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Wait. Is that it? No, that's Hall on the Mountain King. Which one's Night on... Da da da
no,
da,
Hall
da,
of the
da 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 da
da da. Yeah, that's Hall of the Mountain King.
Okay.
Because I have a disco version of that from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, which is just fantastic.
Okay, well, the Night on Bald Mountain is, wait.
Matt hums the classics. Actually, if it's a well-known classical piece, stand by, because I've bought a few, like, collections of classical music. Let me see if it's in my... Nope, not in my iTunes. So it's not on the 150 Classical Masterpieces collection.
Yeah, so it can't be that great.
No, exactly. Just thought you might like to know, you still have the ministry positions if you want them, though. Oh, well, good.
Diplomatic immunity.
On to my questions. Crap, I don't have any good ones that come to mind, but when has that ever stopped me? One, for Matt. Where's the money, Lucas?
Oh, shit. Cut this, I totally don't remember where it's from now.
But you said it was from Empire Records.
No, I know, but I can't remember what the line is.
Is he talking to George Lucas, or like, I don't know, Lucas with the lid off?
No, it was the character in there.
In what?
In Empire Records.
Oh, I have no idea. Well, let's move on then. For Al, hey, do you have any Cutco order forms left? I need a second set of super shears, and he's got the copyright sign there. I no longer have order forms with my wonderful time with that company. Actually, if you need a second, well, no, if you need a second set, never mind. One of the few things I do remember from my time as a door-to-door knife salesman, which I just love saying that I was a door-to-door knife salesman, is that they have a lifetime guarantee. That is one thing that I actually did like. If you break them or they get dull or whatever, you send them back and they will send you another one. That's a thing that they will do forever.
As true today as it was then.
But if you want a second set, I have no idea. I'm not giving you mine. Because those things can cut through a penny, and I got a lot of pennies.
All these pennies to cut out.
Yes, that is a plot element that I've tried to work into about 10 things that I've written and just failed. Someone who gets a pair of Cutco scissors and tries to cause a world penny shortage. Because I hate pennies. It's my anti-penny agenda. Question 3 for Matt. I know that. Where is the money now? Still don't have an answer. Huh?
Oh God.
All right, 4. Again for Matt. What's the money doing in Atlantic City, Lucas? So I guess retroactively the answer is
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, yes. Thinking about starting a band named Thom, but without the H. Well, how would you pronounce that? Lord Thom, the first of his name, regent and president for life of the sovereign nation of Vulcanvania. Bit Abdul Fakadi at the end there.
Just a touch.
That's the leader of the Democratic Federated Socialist Republic of Carbamia. From Transformers. Anything more on that Lucas subject, or are you just...
All I can remember is that there? We mustn't dwell not on Rex Manning Day.
All right. This one comes from Laura, and she says, hey, y'all, how do you say this name? And it's spelled E-U-J-U-A-N-I-A. Thanks in advance, Laura. My first thought would be that it's some kind of Hispanic name, and you would not pronounce the J. It would be like Yuhuania. But I don't think Hispanic words start with EU. I think that's a red herring. I think that's a false, that's a wooden nickel.
I think half of the letters are silent or invisible.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that A is a closet E.
Yep.
It doesn't want its family to know that it's actually an E, yep. So it puts on a brave face and pretends to be an
not
A.
Not just an E, but an upside-down E.
Yes.
Which is against its family or its religion.
Well, nobody likes a schwa.
No.
Especially the anti-schwa people.
There might also be a click in there somewhere. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so you pronounce it Dragon Con.
Yes.
That is how you pronounce that.
Dragon Con.
I'm glad we were able to sort that out.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Next one. You're welcome. Next one comes from Scott. What is the fucking point of renting a rom-com on Blu-ray? I mean, really. Really, you could just say, what's the point of renting a rom-com? But do we need to see Ashton Kutcher in high def? Do we really need to possess the ability to count all the pores on Reese Witherspoon's body? Actually, that last one doesn't sound so bad. But still, why would one do that? I get why people would want to watch movies with the high emphasis on visuals and greater definition than what's offered on your standard Blu-ray, but I'm not about to rush out and watch The King's Speech on it. I guess this wasn't really a question as much as it is an opportunity to rant. Keep up the good work, Scott.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. You know, high def on, like, a really visually stunning movie, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I mean, the Lord of the Rings movies are out now, and our feelings on them notwithstanding, those are an excellent candidate to watch in high def. Yep. The Star Wars movies will be coming out in, I think, September, and I'm personally looking forward to those. I mean, you know, your big sci-fi fantasy epics where they put a lot of really work and care into creating these elaborate worlds are fantastic. Yep. But, no, I'll tell you, when I first moved to Seattle, this was like 2006, I guess, they hooked up my cable, and they offered me high def. They're like, well, your TV takes high def, and this box does high def. And they hooked it up, and The Sopranos happened to be on. And I saw, it might have been James Gandolfini or one of the other grotesques on that show, that I saw in full crystal clear 1080p, and I was like, no.
Take it away. Send it to hell.
Yes. Can I get rabbit ears instead?
I need to blurify this by about 80%.
Yeah, can we make that in like CGA, low res, monochrome, you know? No, I've been a little scared of high def events. But no, I will definitely not be replacing my library. I've picked a handful. Like, I got the Back to the Future movies.
Sure.
I told myself I will get like my top 10 movies at best. So, and some of those Star Trek. I won't even. Yeah, some of the Star Trek. Yeah, like the 2009 Star Trek movie. I'll get that. But a couple of movies in my like top 10 I probably want, like The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's going to look too great on Blu-ray.
Oliver Stone's Nixon.
I mean, I love that movie, but like not a lot of attractive people in there.
No, not so much. So even then, I probably won't. Just not interested. All right, next one again comes from Laura. What's your preferred way of wetting an envelope? An actual envelope for mailing things in, not a steak.
I douse my envelopes liberally in barbecue sauce.
Again with the barbecue sauce.
Delicious.
I just, I don't, like, I had one bill left that I still had to pay on paper, and I've since gotten rid of that. I don't mail things. I just, if I mail a package to someone, I don't have to worry about it, but I have like a box of envelopes that I'll never go through, and they're the self-adhesive kind because licking an envelope is gross.
That is true. It is gross. I don't care what you flavor your envelope with.
No, not even barbecue gross. Sauce.
No.
Plus, they're, you know, I mean, listen, I saw what happened to Susan on Seinfeld. I'm not falling for that trap. And it is indeed a trap, as the man said, as the fish man said. All right. Next one comes from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, "Dear Podcastronauts, how are you? I'm fine. As it is well known, I work in a hospital, and recently one of my patients commented that gentlemen with beards were especially kind. With that compliment, I took the opportunity to rib a coworker about being mean because he had no beard. His response was that beards were unprofessional. I know the stance your listeners, especially the ladies, have on beards, but is this a common belief in public? Do beards have no place among healers? Surely you, being world travelers and gentlemen, can give me some insights on this. Thanks, Skipper. P.S. Still no idea why they insist on calling me Skipper. I couldn't tell you there.
I honestly thought that it was just the thing to do. I wasn't thinking of any particular Skipper when I decided that he needed to be called Skipper.
It wasn't like Barbie's lesbian friend?
No. Nor was I thinking of the Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Well, see, that's the obvious one. There's Barbie's lesbian friend.
Mm.
There's also the Safeway You have Safeway up there, right?
The
grocery store. The generic version they have of Dr. Pepper is called Skipper.
Oh, yeah. There's a doctor. There's a doctor with a beard, Skipper.
A doctor surrogate. Not a proper doctor, but someone pretending to be a doctor.
Yeah.
That is what Skipper is. I'm not necessarily
And also, I don't, get, I don't get this kind thing. The devil has a beard.
Yeah, but the devil has, like, a cool pointy beard.
That's true.
Which I cannot, I myself cannot cultivate, unfortunately. No. I'm very, very, dissatisfied with that.
Nor can you grow a Fu Manchu, alas.
I do not want to grow a Fu Manchu. Not interested. I don't know, I honestly would think someone with an excess of hair doing things that are sterile and clean maybe not be the best idea. Like, I have a beard and I keep it very well groomed.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still hairs that come out every now and then, and that's gross, and I don't want that. If someone's performing surgery on me, I don't want them, like, dropping their little hairs in me.
Yeah, but then isn't that why you wear a surgery mask?
Yeah, I've met Ted. He's got a pretty massive beard. I don't think that mask is going to cover the whole thing.
Well, he could get a bandana. And then you could rob a stagecoach.
Well, he could do that.
Ted, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I would like you to do. Perform surgery and then rob a stagecoach.
I think that was a show on CBS, like in the 70s. I think there was a gang of rogue surgeons that were knocking over stagecoaches for medical supplies and then performing surgeries.
Oh yeah, Dr. Black Bart.
No, it was like a mashup of like Little House on the Prairie and like
The Italian Job.
No, like ER or something.
Oh yes.
Or whatever, you know, Hill Street Blues or whatever. No, Hill Street Blues was Cops. Fucking, what is that show? Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, The Nexus.
Yeah, I briefly said Saint Anger, but that's not right at all.
Is that a show? Because that should be a show.
No, it was the worst Metallica album ever.
Oh.
All right, next one comes from Irene, and she writes, Dear Alan Matt, I'm writing to you once more to talk about the devil. Bit of a theme building here. It has come to my attention that someone claiming to be the Great Evil One has asserted that he is not, in fact, coming for me. I do not believe this to be true. Rather, I believe it is a clever ruse used by the real devil to put my mind at ease. Fear not, I will remain vigilant. I do pity the poor fool who believes that he's the devil. Impersonators of this sort never do well. Here's an eternal damnation, Irene. P.S. Everyone knows that the real devil would not let a woolen clown take over his empire. Sigh, amateurs. So...
Well, I mean, if there's one thing I learned from Vertigo Comics in the late 80s, early 90s, it's that there's several devils. So really, there's more than enough to go around.
Well, wasn't the thing in, like, Sandman, for instance, that different sort of human concepts of, you know, evil and other things are represented by multifaceted things that are actually the same being?
Yeah.
Like, different cultures see the same being different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but what I'm saying is there's one devil, but he appears to different people as different things.
Yes.
He's still the same guy.
Yes. One of them can be the one who is chasing Irene.
Yeah.
Another can be kicked out of hell by a woolen clown. I have my own theory that said woolen clown may be the devil.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, look at him. Look at that cute little guy.
I do believe in that clown, though, so.
Well, I've seen him. I actually haven't seen him in person. But,
no. You've seen photos, which cannot be faked.
I did invite him to our wedding, but he couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Well, he was so busy.
Yeah. Next one comes from Scott again. Use guises. Your desperate pleas for questions have not fallen on deaf ears. Yeah, I was out there pleading. I heard your Twitter call to arms, so to speak, and I come bearing them. Arms, that is. Because you need them to type. Unless you can do it with your feet. Which I can't, so I need arms. Anyway. If you type with your feet, you should really wear those foot gloves that Dave has.
Well, you're going to get foot crap in your computer.
Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, no. I'm sure Tidro's cleaning foot crap out of her keyboard all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway, is there any way I can send a bunch of questions without you guys calling me Flonk? Has it been long enough since that happened? No, never forget. Probably not. In fact, you probably did it before you read this email. Well, no, I didn't. That's not really a great incentive for me to send any more, is it? That might be the point. How dare you guys use psychology on me? It's not fair. I majored in English, not psychology. Again, not much of a question. I'm not doing too well in sending questions, am I? I'm totally rocking the non-question department. Thanks, and I look forward to your reply, Scott.
I think we might be observing Scott's nervous breakdown.
I think we've been observing Scott's nervous breakdown for the past 7 years. Scott, I love you to death, and incidentally, I cannot believe I offered you the opportunity to plug whatever you like, and you chose to plug your sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Which by this point in the recording is already consumed and is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people need to know about your wonderful comic that you've been making and putting on the web for people at no cost.
Yep.
Owen Steelheart. Which is available at a link that we will put in the show notes. I don't know it off the top of my head. But it's an awesome... And I don't say this just because Scott is my friend.
It is an excellent comic.
It's an excellent comic that I would read even if I didn't know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Next one comes from Laura, who's actually probably more in the running to be flunked this time than Scott. She sent us her grocery list.
Oh, good.
So I'm making a grocery list. Oh, she's talking about that whole making groceries thing that they have down south, where they say differently than we do. She's probably trying to provoke us into saying that that's funny, but we're not going to fall for that one.
No, we know how this works.
Yeah. So I'm making a grocery list so I can cook my dinner tonight. So far I have the following. Plums, wonton skin, green onions.
You're reading a list.
Oh, plums, wonton skins, green onions, chicken broth, ground turkey.
Dale, calm.
Do y'all need me to pick up anything? Or can you think of anything I forgot? Let me know sometime so I can go ahead and make groceries. Thanks, Laura. I'm trying to think of what she's making with plums and wonton skins and onions.
Well, Laura, you need to pick up some propane.
You need some Alamo beer, obviously. And a steak. Oh, God, I didn't mean that. No, forget it. Never mind.
I got a lot of steaks for $3.99.
I'm not going the whole steak route with her again. Next one comes from Persquire, and he says, as the locals say, hey, y'all. We should probably answer Laura's question. Do we need anything from the store?
Oh, yeah. Can you just pick me up a Slurpee while you're down there?
I want some of those gummy cola bottles. They're like shaped like cola bottles, but they're cola-flavored, and they're gummy.
I mowed the lawn. Can I have a candy bar?
What? Is that how your parents would bribe you into doing chores?
Yes.
I would get mow the lawn or you're grounded. You got much better than I got.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, next one comes from Persquire. As the locals say, hey, y'all. If you're going on a long trip in space, would you rather be Dave or Hal? Dave has his free will and humanity, but goes a bit crazy. Hal is a logical machine with an awesome spaceship body, but has people issues. I forgot that the guy's name was Dave in 2001, and I thought he was talking about Dave Lister.
Oh, yeah, that was my first go-to, too. I'm like, well, obviously Dave.
Because he's got his free will and humanity and goes a bit crazy. That's accurate.
Yeah, and he has an awesome accent.
Yeah, he does, which every time we tried doing it, like we were looking over these before the show, we kept lapsing into Nick and Willikins, which is nothing like that accent.
Not even Rimmer. Rimmer. Rimmer.
Yeah. I don't know how Dale,
Boomhauer.
Con Min.
Con super, a super nuisance phone.
I don't know how you can make an argument that Hal didn't go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Hal was programmed to kill all the humans.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure Hal went crazy.
Yeah, I don't see... Holding up Hal as the model of sanity there may not be your best argument, Persquire, but...
But on the other hand, Dave turned into a space baby, which I am completely against, so... Is that what happened?
I don't know. I always fall asleep at the light show. I love that movie to that point.
I just go by what happens at the end of that episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, where there's a giant videotape with the worst movie ever. Yeah. It's a great episode, by the way, with Laser Blast.
Mm-hmm. Pa-pa-pa-pow.
So yeah, I think all things considered, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'd rather be Hal.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, I'd only have to change one letter in my name tag.
Yeah.
Which would be much easier, but...
I don't know, I imagine this podcast would get a whole lot of Daisy renditions.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, I'd have to, I mean, I already have kind of the deadpan thing going. I'd have to go a little flatter with that. Have you seen the movie Moon, by the way?
Yeah, it was
recommended
awesome.
To you, but yeah, and Kevin Spacey basically doing Hal was fantastic. I quite enjoyed that. That wow, really? Wait, I told you I saw something good. You should see it too, and you did?
Yeah, I always wanted to see Moon since I saw the trailer for it. That movie looked awesome.
very well.
I had already decided to see that movie.
Oh, so that had nothing to do with me.
No.
All right, very well.
Although if it makes you feel better, you can think that it did.
Very well. Next one comes from Shauna, and actually there's no text here. She sent a follow-up to a few weeks ago. She had mentioned hipsters and wanting to create a new fashion, which was sort of ironic biblical costumes.
Yeah, what did she call it? Bible punk?
I don't think she called it that, but that's a good name for it.
I agree.
But she, it's just a follow-up to that. She included a picture of herself in biblical garb, which we will share with you in the show notes. Next one comes from one of the Black Mages. And he writes, I don't know what he writes because there's an ad in the way. Here we go. Dear Al, Matt, and Possible Guinea Pig, how's your butt? Mine is fine. Seriously, though, when will you guys reboot the podcast starting over from issue one, and what kind of changes are in store for the readers? Will we get to see costume modifications like Al getting pants instead of those silly underoo things he's worn for years now? Will we get a fresh take on Matt's origin story, giving us a darker, grittier Matt who now punches two times, only to dodge the one punch the previous incarnation would have taken? I can't wait to see Dave with his newfound mustache powers. Quickly to the Sarcastomobile. Gotta go. The nice people in the white coats have once again come to take me away. Thanks for the pie. Your pal, DJ. I will say with certainty that this podcast isn't going anywhere.
No, of course not.
That there's no need to reboot because we are constant. We will always be here. Everything is fine. And it's silly for you to even ask that we would stop.
What is that fucking noise?
I don't even hear it now. I'm tuning it out.
Yeah,
I've been hearing it so long, it just didn't even occur to me.
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
All right, next one comes.
I will of course be rocking an extremely high collar and a costume which is totally 90s.
Yeah, Jim Lee, maybe you need to never mind.
Also
never mind.
A tattoo of my logo.
That's always classy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with jeans and a shirt with the logo.
Yep.
Which I actually liked that. I actually thought that looked cool. I don't want that to be Superman's thing.
No.
But just on that one cover.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that being his actual costume. I think that's he's getting back to his roots.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or something.
Also in the reboot, I'm black for some reason. Next one comes from Thom, and he says, Dear Minister of Information Algar and Ambassador to Gotham, Robotham. Okay, how did I never know that Robotham rhymes with Gotham?
Yeah.
Until he just pointed that out.
How did you not notice that?
That seems like a thing you'd be pointing out all the time.
That seems like the kind of thing I would introduce myself with.
Yes. Hey, I'm Matt Robotham. You know what my name rhymes with?
Gotham.
How are you? Thom is fine. Things continue to prosper here in Vulcanvania Stan. We appear to be having a record felt harvest this year.
Oh, good.
Thank you immensely for your suggestions. I've taken many of them to heart. Well, not the National Anthem one. and have implemented several of them. More information on my nation shall follow as I do my best to have the peasants concoct artist renderings. But on to my question. I know you've discussed the odd nature of serial mascots before. Episode 68, Slouching Toward McDonaldland. Is that one that we did?
Yeah.
Sounds like us. I don't know. That's a blackout for me. But I'm sure if you ever mentioned... I'm unsure if you ever mentioned a favorite. Well, I know you, Al, do not watch current commercials. Is there one from your childhood that you particularly stood out or have a fondness for? Matt, the same is posed to you. There's more questions, but let's get to this one first. You have a favorite cereal mascot?
I don't know about a favorite cereal mascot. I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, though. I don't know if these were happening when you were a kid and watching stuff, but we used to have, like, long storylines in our cereal commercials.
Yeah, there was a bit of that, especially when they were doing a contest, like... Guess the new Lucky Charms marshmallow, there'd be a whole, like, storyline culminating in the revelation of whatever it was.
Yeah, and, like, you'd get a new one every month or so.
Yeah, a new episode, yeah. That would happen, too. There was also, the flip side of that was there were completely untold stories. Cinnamon Toast Crunch used to have three bakers.
Yes!
Singing the song. And then they went away, and there was just Wendell.
Yep. Oh, God, I'm so glad someone else remembers the three Cinnamon Toast Crunch bakers.
Yeah, and, I've talked about this for a while, actually. I don't know if it's ever made it to the show, but where are the other two guys? They just, suddenly they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the natural conclusion is that there's some kind of weird Soylent Green thing happening.
Yep. I assume Wendell ate them.
I assume Wendell put them in the cereal, ground them up as fine as cinnamon.
What do you think's in the cinnamon?
I heard that. I don't know. Most cereal mascots were really annoying to me.
Yeah.
Or I felt bad for them. Like, the Trix Rabbit, just fucking give him his cereal. It's got his picture right on it.
Yep.
What is your problem? Whereas on the other hand, Sonny should never be, have been given Cocoa Puffs.
No.
When I was a kid, I'm actually old enough to vaguely remember they could still call Sugar Smacks, and Super Sugar Crisp.
Yes, with the Dean Martin bear.
No, it was Bing Crosby.
Oh, that's right, Bing Crosby.
You know, that guy could beat his kids.
Super Sugar Crisp.
Yep. And they had to change it to Golden Crisp, implying that it's made with honey instead of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, sugar is bad now. I don't fucking know. They call it, Super High Fructose Corn Syrup Crisp. I don't know that there's any I actually liked, though. Tony the Tiger was kind of a jerk.
He sucks.
He was like Tony Wonder. He would just lurk outside a conversation waiting for someone to say the word great.
Yeah.
So, no matter what the context, so then he could show up and say, Frosted Flakes, good. Shut up, I wasn't talking about Frosted Flakes. I said a night with that hooker was great.
How long have you been crouched in that dumbwaiter?
I didn't know we had taquitos. So cereal mascots are either jerks or people who are horribly abused.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Catch Lucky. Let's get his lucky charms. Like, leave him alone.
Leave me alone. I'm just trying to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he sells his cereal in a store. Just go buy it. Don't try to steal it from him. So, yeah, I have sympathy or contempt for cereal mascots. Yep. I can't say there's any I ever really bonded with. I don't know,
Barney was a real jerk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a nice repurposing of the Flintstones to that scenario.
You know, you can just buy Cocoa Pebbles, right?
Barney, my pebble! Plus, I would always imagine, you know, Fred named a cereal after his daughter.
Yep.
So I always imagined that Barney was actually stealing his child. Barney, my pebbles!
For the love of God!
Bring back my pebbles!
I picture him getting a note with, like, the individual letters nailed into it.
He had a bird, like, three different birds that type in different fonts.
Yep.
Like, typing it out for him. The living, you know. Yeah, no, Ice Cream Jones was okay, I guess, but he wasn't around for very long.
My pro-monster stance means that I am quite fond of Count Chocula.
Yeah, Count Chocula and Frankenberry were okay.
Yep.
Occasionally Boo Berry.
Fruit Brute.
Fruit Brute was never in the commercials that I know of. Maybe before I was, you know.
No, I vaguely remember Fruit Brute commercials.
Ah, very well. I only knew about Fruit Brute because of the the appearance in Pulp Fiction. I do remember Fruity Yummy Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Which existed, but I don't know if it was part of that line or if it was like a knockoff. Anyway, he says, also, do either of you know a good armorer? It appears that to be a good and proper Eastern European despot, I need my own set of battle armor. All the best ones have it. Doom, the High Evolutionary, that Zod fella from a few years back. I do not.
I actually do know an armorer.
Do you for real?
Yes, he's the same guy that got me smoking crack.
I like that that's what that's turned into. Got you smoking crack.
Well, got me on the crack.
Yeah. Did you have to go through detox for that? Did you have to?
If by detox you mean lying in my bed naked in the fetal position, then yes.
But that's how you spend every night, Matt.
Well, yes.
Next one, comes from our friend Jenny, which we don't hear from nearly enough.
No.
Who we don't hear from nearly enough. She's a person, not an object. Jennifer. And she writes, Dear Alamette, there's a bunch of questions here, so we'll address these each one at a time. Do you ever sing privately and secretly think that you could have been on American Idol if you really wanted to, but you were way too cool ever to try?
In the shower, yes.
Do they have a Canadian version of American Idol?
Oh, yeah, it's called Canadian Idol, shockingly.
Well, I assume so. Actually, that is a bit shocking because the one in the original one from England is called X Factor or something, isn't it? Mm. And here they were worried you'd confuse it with an X-Men comic, I suppose.
I have made that mistake.
Of course you have. X Factor. Oh,
I went on Twitter one time and it's like, wow, X Factor's trending. What the fuck? Oh yeah, we're right.
Yeah, it's English Idol.
So no one wants to talk to me about Strong Guy. Fuck.
Is that his name, Strong Guy?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you about him either. That's horrible. No, I mean, I've never actually seen American Idol. I'm more aware of American Idol now than I was a year ago because Paul F. Tompkins wrote those awesome recaps of it. But, it seems to be mostly the reason people watch it is so awful people can go on there and get yelled at by the catty British guy who's not even there anymore.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy.
Although that catty British guy is legitimately funny. Like, it's not my kind of TV. I don't watch it. I don't care. But I've heard clips of him just ragging on those people. And he's you know, he's funny. He's got a good shtick, which is be mean.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's certainly part of the appeal of the show, I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, he's not there anymore. You got, like, Steven Tyler now from Aerosmith. Uh-huh. Like, I doubt he's as funny as Simon Cowell. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that.
Isn't Ellen on that show now?
She was. I don't think she is now. Again, I only know this because of Paul F. Tompkins.
And I know Quentin Tarantino did an episode, and that's weird.
Well, occasionally, I think they would have a guest, like a guest judge.
Yeah, I just... Really? Quentin Tarantino judging your singing?
He puts his fingers in very strange pop culture pies. He shows up in very strange places.
I guess.
He did a commentary track for the American DVD release of Spaced.
Yeah, I remember that. I have that.
For some reason. Yeah, which is great, mm-hmm. But, you know, like, what?
Strange, though.
Yeah. Whereas Kevin Smith did one, and that made more sense, just because he's more in the nerd camp.
Well, I mean, I understand. I
put Quentin Tarantino kind of in the same group there.
I don't know. I mean, I understand it, because it's Edgar Wright, you know, and the directing in Space was very unique. So I can understand him doing that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
The only thing anyway. I know about Quentin Tarantino and music comes from the Like a Virgin stuff in Reservoir Dogs.
Well, I know he loves lots of music, because, I mean, his soundtracks are always,
Well, yes.
A veritable cornucopia. But no, I don't want to be on American Idol. Also, I don't think I'm a very good singer. So
no, if there's one thing the karaoke night taught me, it's that, well, I will sing passionately, I will not sing well.
Yeah, I think I do think if I learned how to sing, I have a very narrow range that I could probably hit. But even that, I never bothered to learn, so no. If you were only going to be allowed one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's an easy one. Pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Sorry.
No, there's just so many variations.
Yeah, well, and even if it was only the same kind of pizza, I just don't get sick of pizza ever.
Nope.
And if you were allowed limited tradesies, would you strategically make your choice so that you and your best friend would have mutually compatible foods? Well, in this case, it would be me and Matt.
I mean, I guess we could trade.
And we both
chose
pizza. So. Yeah, I suppose so.
That would work.
Yeah, but we'd still just be eating pizza. We didn't plan that very well. I didn't read ahead.
No. But if trade
pizza for pizza,
I'm okay if we find two decent pizza places.
Yeah. Now the person I live with is, you know, maybe not my best friend, but my wife. she'd pick some awful vegetarian thing. So no tradesies there. Yeah. She chose fruit.
Quite literally in this case.
Do you think of anyone in your life as your best friend?
Yeah, he married her.
there was this very embarrassing story about Matt that if you're too embarrassed, I will edit this out.
No.
Where we're IMing once and I quoted The Simpsons at you. And I said, you will notice my new best friend. And you said, wow, really? I'm your best friend? No, Matt. Oh. For a minute there.
Aw.
I felt kind of bad for you.
Well, nothing new there.
No, I don't really rank my friends. Like, I have, you know, a small group of very close friends, but I don't know which one's the best. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty bad people. If yes, do you keep that knowledge to yourself because you don't want to disillusion someone else that you love or hurt their feelings? No.
Since when do I care about other people's feelings?
Yeah. That's why I don't have any friends. Do you consider it appallingly lazy and weird that I'm doing this on my phone because turning on my laptop was just too much trouble and the internet overwhelming due to my delicate sensibilities?
No, I've definitely done that occasionally.
No, a lot of our emails are sent via telephones. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's the wave
of
the future.
We're constantly getting ones from Flunk that say sent from my Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Or from Pat McDonald that say they were sent from his toilet.
Those are less appreciated.
Painting a picture of exactly what toilet conditions are there.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys ever find the internet overwhelming to your delicate sensibilities? No.
Before I started getting medicated, I used to be afraid of what my email might hold.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like an anxiety thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is also whack when I was at school.
Hmm.
And I was constantly expecting horrible emails from various people telling me about things I did wrong.
Oh, I see. No, I mean, I'm not going to make a joke about that. I just, I didn't realize that the email was a source of anxiety for people who have anxiety. That's,
yep.
That's interesting. Huh. But no, if the internet ever overwhelmed me, then I'm tired of life.
Time to pack it in.
Yeah, because the internet is where I live.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Every now and then, I'll make a comment to Amanda, like, the internet is weird. And she's like, yeah, but the internet's where we're from. That's our culture. Yep. That's what we identify with. That's, yeah. And she says, did I do this wrong? No, dear, you did it perfectly. We need to hear from you more. That's great. And she says, love Pickles.
Well, thank you, Pickles.
The drummer. Doodly-doo. Ding-dong doodly. Doodly-doo. Now we have some voicemails. This is running a bit long, but that's okay. We, you know, we can do a long show every now and then.
Sure, we got nothing but time.
What is that? It's changed. It's. You know, forget it. Never mind. Ever forward.
Yep.
All right, got some voicemails here.
All right.
First one comes from Adrian.
Hey, Alan, Matt, this is Adrian. I was listening to the show. And you guys did something that I didn't know was possible. You actually somehow heard my thoughts, whether they're telepathically or osmosarchly, I don't know. But you figured out what I think has been wrong with Nick and Wilkins for some time now, which is Nick isn't loud enough. And now he is. And I like to wear my iPod when I walk around, like just, you know, when I'm going out and just doing a walk and such. And people were staring at me because I was laughing so hard. But that's okay, because I think this is a good thing. So I have a question about it then, which is, are you planning on giving him access to a time machine at any point in the near future? Because people asking, where's Nick, is always a good idea. So. Tally-ho and all that, and I will chat with you guys later. Goodbye.
I think he's just giving us that goodbye out of obligation. That didn't sound nearly as depressed as
he
usually
sounds.
Yeah,
you need to put more effort into it now, Adrian.
Yeah, you need to Zyoko it up.
Yes.
Give it a little bit more Eeyore sound.
Imagine a world wherein you just can't bring yourself to plug your award-winning webcomic, but instead plug your sandwich.
Plug my sandwich on this summer on Fox. I don't know. I mean, all I can think of is I wrote that bit and you laughed at it. Yay! But that's just the way I think because I'm a jerk.
Take that, Matt. Aww.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad that you thought something was wrong with Nick and Wilkins and we fixed it because, you know, God forbid we do what we wanted.
Yes.
And have that.
So, in future, Nick and Wilkins will be getting progressively louder throughout the episode until it reaches a head-exploding pitch.
That will be fine. Also, I like how he says he wears his iPod.
Yeah.
While that may be grammatically correct, it's still just a very strange turn of phrase.
Well, I was wearing my iPod.
Next one comes from Vishal, who has contributed much to the show, but never actually... sent us a voicemail before, so I'm excited
about
that.
Again, very pleased to receive it.
Yes.
Hey guys, this is Vishal talking to you from sunny Dubai, and I have a question. So this podcasting isn't cutting it for you anymore, and you want to expand your influence. Naturally, you turn to religion, by which I mean you claim to have divine powers and start a cult. We do this all the time in India. Hundreds of dudes who can read, I don't know, feet and scalps and coffee residue and can cure cancer by dousing you in goat urine. They're called babas. Baba this, baba that, foot baba and scalp baba and goat urine baba. So, gentlemen and possible lady guests, I put it to you. What would your baba name be? And what would your special baba power be? Yours in Baba Christ, Vishal.
Right, Matt, if you say Baba Booey, I'm going to punch you.
No.
Okay.
Just no.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I would lower people into bathtubs full of mushy poop in order to restore vitality.
Yeah.
And my name would be Bubba poop. Batman.
Well, of course it would. Did you say no, it's Baba, not Bubba?
That's what I said. Baba Batman.
Okay. You gave it a little of a you sound like it.
Baba Batman, Baba Batman, Commissioner Gordon's penis, Baba Batman.
That's much better. Whereas I believe what is different in each person, what is sort of apart from other people, is it should be celebrated. I think rebels, you know, people who think differently, I would be Baba Black Sheep. All right. Next voicemail comes from Marissa. There's actually two here. She sent us a second one as an afterthought.
All right.
So we'll hear them in succession here.
Gentlemen, this is Brewtown Marissa with a Star Trek question. Rewatching the new fake Star Trek recently, I was struck by the scene that has Chekhov struggling with the computer understanding his consonants. And I just thought to myself, hey, isn't there a universal translator on this ship? Why isn't he speaking in Russian? The computer understands him perfectly. Why is the computer being such a jagoff? Any ideas? Gentlemen, it's Brewtown Marissa again. As an addendum to my previous voicemail, I know that there is that army of linguists like Uhura that are on board to translate things like the Klingon transmission. But with that being said, isn't it idiotic that the computer wouldn't have the languages of at least Earth or, I don't know, all the member federation systems in the computer? That's all I have. Thank you.
Well, my knee jerk is to say you're overthinking it. It was just a funny joke.
But as people want to tackle Star Trek, podcast. People,
yeah, I think we need to step up and actually provide a proper
explanation. That never occurred to me.
No, me neither. Again, I thought it was just a cheap laugh, and you know they've milked that Chekhov talks funny thing for years, mm-hmm. and I thought that was an interesting new way to do that. Plus, I've had a thing against computer voice recognition since forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even necessarily take it as it didn't understand him because it was Russian. I just thought voice recognition still sucks in the 23rd century.
Yeah, I buy it.
Icon. But no, I got the impression that there was no universal translator yet. As she points out, there was Uhura and other linguists there. Like, the reason they had them there maybe was because the universal translator wasn't worth it yet, or yeah. Something along those lines.
The universal translator prototype was aboard Kirk's dad's ship when it exploded.
Yeah, there you go. It was out there testing it for some reason. The whole translator thing's always been a weird issue for me because so many planets they go to and they immediately speak English. I know the story's just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
And, they don't want to waste too much time with that. But was there ever an official explanation for that? Was it like and mostly Next Gen that I know of where they go to a planet and they immediately speak English? Is there just like a universal translator hookup in their little comm badges? Or?
I thought that it was surgically implanted.
That could be as well. I mean, do they ever actually say that, though?
I don't think so.
Or is that just like your Marvel No Prize thing?
No, I think they just pretty much step around it because honestly, it just makes the show hard to do. And,
it does.
It's just one of those things.
I give them a lot of credit for completely creating from scratch a Klingon language.
Mm-hmm.
And they have other, they have a Vulcan one. I don't know if they have a full language, but they have, they've tried to invent a few of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, to do that every week for each new culture would just be, forget about it. That all that said, even the universal translator can't understand Chekhov because he's Chekhov.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's rebooted better Chekhov, he's still just Chekhov.
Yes.
And, who cares? That's my answer.
And now if you'll excuse me, I'm going to think about him being shot for a while.
All right, next one comes from Ted.
Buonasera, buonasera. Boys, men, people, get my Navy guests. I have a question for you. We throw around the Learnanasium and Thinkatorium. Is there a proper way to do this? Because I call one place a Tutortorium, and someone said that that's too many T's in succession to be useful. It seems silly. Are there rules, or is this person just an idiot? Bye!
Well, I think the whole Nasium and Torium thing is really handled best by the experts, which would be the writers of Futurama.
Yes.
I don't know that we would presume to tamper in their domain.
There are rules. It's hard to sort of classify them. It's kind of like porn. You just sort of know it when you hear it.
Hmm.
You're right, though. Tutortarium doesn't sound right. I would go with something more along the lines of, say, Tutorarium.
I'd go with the Tutor Dome myself.
Yeah, that would work, too. Sure.
But again... I don't think it's hard to classify the rules. They're definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what sounds right and what doesn't. And that's really most of my actual real, not comedy writing, but grammar rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know most of the parts of speech or, what a participle is or anything like that. But I do know what sounds good and what doesn't. And it's served me well.
Yes.
I don't know. It's an instinct. It's like the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Next one comes from Pat McDonald.
Hey, boys. Pat McDonald. I'm wondering, I'm going to Canada. I'm thinking maybe next month, late next month. We'll have some money stashed away. Just to go. Never been there before. So the girlfriend and I might make a trip of it. And I was wondering, once I cross the border, is Matt's house right there? Or do I need to make a few turns? I assume it's just right across the border. There's Canada, Matt's house. So if you kindly leave me directions on the show, I'd appreciate it. And Matt, I will be there at tea time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's not far off.
Yeah, the thing you joke. But really, right when you cross the border, in 10 minutes you can be at Matt's house. It's the map that I got of Canada is like one of those placemat maps where you get, like the cartoon drawing of like the town and all that. And then I realized that is a Canadian map.
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't many locations there.
No.
It's kind of like you're playing a video game and you haven't unlocked many places, but that's just because there aren't many places to go. And that's not a dig at Canada being childlike. It's a dig at Canada being empty.
Yes. No, and the,
you have a landmass equal to the landmass that the U.S. occupies, but you have like one fourth of the population. There's not a lot there.
Yeah, it's like in Grand Theft Auto, the bridge is out.
Yeah, there you go. Or like in any of the like King's Quest games, you can't go past the mountains.
Yes,
or it loops around.
Well, yes, Canada does in also fact loop that. Around.
Okay, that is an alarm. What? That is what a very hell? Loud yeah. alarm. Okay. There's that, something wrong with the submarine, Matt.
That can't...
My manual here says we should abandon ship. We have another voicemail here. Safety and all, but I think we really need to finish the show.
Keep it quick.
All right, you're okay finishing the show,
well,
right?
I mean, the fires are starting here, but I think I can hold out long enough.
All right, this one comes from Shauna. Hopefully it's short.
Yoko sister here. Do you realize that, like, 20 years from now, our children are going to be dressing up like hipsters for Halloween? Just a thought.
Matt, there's a lot of fires.
Yeah, I am having...
I'm trying to put these out.
It's getting really smoky in here, too.
That's a great voicemail, Shauna,
yeah,
but
no,
I...
Yeah, no, we were really, really...
Jesus Christ!
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011. Guys? Hey guys, I'm back. Whoa. Are those pieces of the submarine floating out there? Jesus. Look at this engine. It's crammed full of... Who thought that having all these bits was a good idea?